Hello, Daniel Klaus.
Hello.
Marshall is the main character in Mr. Wonderful. He's Mr. Wonderful, in fact. And I thought about this while reading the book. Is he really lonely? Or is he just feeling that at his age, I mean, he's too old to go on a date with a 25-year-old and too young for a 90-year-old. Is he feeling that at his age he has to be in a happy couple because that's just the way families work?
You know, he's a kind of character that I know well. I know a lot of people who have sort of lived as teenagers up long into their, you know, adulthood, into their 30s and 40s, and then find themselves kind of at a loss for forever finding anybody who will put up with their eccentricities that they develop over the years of living alone. And it's one of those things that sort of from the outsider's perspective, it seems like, well, it shouldn't be too hard to find somebody to for them to you know, have a relationship with. But when you really analyze the particulars, it's seems like it's almost impossible for that to ever happen.
But do you sense that there is some sort of pressure on people in those situations, in their midlife, who are living alone, as sort of a pressure to get engaged, to have someone to live with?
I think they always have it in the back of their mind that one day I'm gonna, you know, I'll find my soulmate and we'll live happily. And at a certain point, they realize that their kind of romantic visions about their life aren't going to come true. And you know, at a certain age, I think a lot of people feel like they don't want to. You know, they might have been happy being alone when they were younger and could go out and do things, but they don't want to be stuck, you know, being an isolated old person by themselves, and it becomes kind of a tense, panicked time for certain people, I think.
In your book, you use different drawing styles for different layers of the narration. You're using text, like you're using an image. I mean by that text can be in the foreground, it can be in the background, it can be hidden by other text, it can be outside of the frame.
No.
And naturally, a lot of people always say, okay, you're redefining what comic means. You're trying to go to the edge of the definition of comic. Is this something you're thinking of voluntarily? Is it something you state proudly? I'm redefining comic?
Dear God, if I ever do say that, you should have me murdered. I'm always just trying to find things in the form of comics that can tell the kind of stories I want to tell. And that I've always been interested in the text in comics as part of the artwork. You know, often the two parts of comics, the writing and the drawing, are handled separately. And in fact, you know, in a lot of comics, they're done by completely different people. You know, the artist might not even get the pages until they've already been written and lettered, and they're just kind of illustrating what's going on. And I always thought the word balloons and the speaking should be more part of the artwork, and really it's the most important part. Really, just placing the word balloons in a certain order is by far the most important part of the drawing. And you know, you could almost draw it with stick figures if you do that correctly, and it'll still get across a lot of what you're trying to say.
We have here a story of a man. We see him from the outside, but clearly the story is told from his point of view. We have his view of the things happening, his blind date and the evening following. We even have moments of the story where he hears people talking, but his thoughts are so loud in his head that the thoughts are covering what the people are saying. So we can't even read what Natalie, his date, says sometimes, because he's so desperately trying to keep up with the conversation. And I'm afraid to say something wrong. So we have this thoughts in the foreground. That's what I meant earlier. I was thinking, are you secretly planning to do the same story again, but with Natalie's thoughts in the foreground?
You know, it was that occurred to me throughout the whole thing, that if I it was originally this book was originally done for a magazine in the U.S. and I had 20 installments, so I knew it was going to be a very short piece compared to a lot of my books. But I thought if I were doing it as a longer book, that I would be able to do it from her perspective. Although that's a certain type, you know, the character Marshall, I think, is someone who's not used to listening to other people, or who's so trapped in his own churning thoughts that he can't stop and pay attention to other people. And I'm not sure that the Natalie character would have that same kind of irritating, jolting presence in her own brain. You know, she may have drifting thoughts, but it wouldn't be the same kind of effect as the Marshall character.
And did you actually write Natalie's words before covering them with Marshall thoughts? Are you the only person who knows what Natalie was saying?
Oh, I did. Yes, I know. I know exactly what she's saying.
Daniel Klaus, thank you very much.